Arkansas beat Kentucky 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Now it's SEC tournament time. The Razorbacks are going to play at 4:30 is the announced time on Wednesday. I think we all know how the SEC tournament goes. I mean, you get one extra inning game and one rain delay, and all of a sudden you're playing about 4 hours later than you're supposed to play. But that's the time Arkansas is supposed to play on Wednesday against either Tennessee or South Carolina. Those two teams play tomorrow down in Hoover. We've got Bubba Carpenter here in studio with us. I want to tell you that our podcast today brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks at H&R Tire and Auto. Also brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com for more information. Also brought to you by Southern Loft. They are making room for new inventory with their Furniture Market Clearance event. That's happening May 22nd through May 29th. If you've had your eye on new furniture for your home, now's the time to shop and save on stylish pieces of furniture for every room, from comfortable living room furniture to statement dining pieces and more. Southern Loft has options to fit your style and your space. You can visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville, or give them a call at 479-856-6100 before the sale ends on May 29th. I want to say congratulations to the Arkansas softball team. They beat South Florida yesterday at Bogle Park. They're going on to the Fayetteville Super Regional. They're going to play Duke on Friday morning at 11 a.m. That's going to be game one of the Super Regional here in Fayetteville. Arkansas obviously looking for their first trip to the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. Ethan Westerman will be on with me tomorrow. We'll take a look, closer look at the Razorback softball team. I was actually out at Bogle Park yesterday. First time I've covered a softball game, I think, in 4 years. It's just I never get over there because the overlap with baseball is such that it just never really allows for it. But with baseball playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then softball having a Sunday game, I was able to go over there and help out. Kind of a neat experience there. And boy, they are so due, Bubba, for a breakthrough to get to the Women's College World Series. I think this is going to be the year they do it. I think that they've just – there's been something about them this year. You know, like, they went to OU and they won a game. They went to Texas and they won a series. They just got a different feel about them this year.
Well, did we play that well? Or the teams that we played, were they just not? I mean, three run rules. That's incredible.
Yeah, they won by 24 combined runs. I think it's a little bit of both. I think some of this is, you know, this is the first year. Softball is doing the same thing that baseball is doing this year, where they're seeding the number two seeds. And so I think a lot of times Arkansas has actually been given a pretty tough number two seed who's come in here. I think about when Oregon came in a few years ago and actually won the regional. And I think that maybe what you're seeing across the country, because a lot of the really high national seeds kind of had similar weekends. Like OU won, I think they won their 3 games by 27 combined runs. Maybe a little bit more competitive balance in the regionals. But they looked really good. I mean, it's not very often that you see a team win a regional in any sport, and or one of the diamond sports, and they only had to use their ace 4 innings on the weekend.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really good for them. So congrats to Courtney and her team. When it comes to Arkansas, the projections this week, or I should say at this point in time, the projection, because we're waiting to see what D1 Baseball says. We don't have their projection out just yet. Maybe we will during the course of the show, and if we do, we can double back and talk about what they say. The Baseball America projection this week says that Arkansas is going to be at Southern Miss. Obviously, that's a little bit closer to home than Eugene or Los Angeles or even Tallahassee. Those have been the ones that have been mentioned in the last few weeks. You know, the thing I noticed, Bubba, though, is that when you look at where I think Arkansas is going to end up being slotted next Monday, I think they're going to be in that 17 to 20 range. I don't think they're going to host a regional. I think that they're going to be in that 17 to 20 range. KU and Nebraska have both kind of fallen into that 13 to 16 range now.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, Baseball America, they've got Arkansas at 22. I think they're undervaluing where the committee is going to place Arkansas. I really do. But I think Arkansas in that 17 to 20, and you got KU and Nebraska potentially in that 13 to 16. I'm starting to think it's going to be one of those two, because I know they've talked about, you know, proximity isn't everything, But the NCAA is still footing the bill for the travel. And if they could put Arkansas on a bus to Lawrence, I guess Lincoln falls right outside of the radius where you can bus a team. But that's a short flight to Lincoln versus maybe a flight to Los Angeles or Eugene or wherever else. Like, I'm thinking that KU or Nebraska might be pretty safe bets for where Arkansas ends up next week. I don't know that, but that's kind of how I'm feeling right now, a week out.
If we're going to be a two seed, that's where I'd like to go. Yeah. One of those places. I'm like Clark Griswold. I like to drive.
Oh, I do too.
It's part of the experience, Matt.
You're driving to Hoover?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm driving.
Yeah, I'll leave tomorrow. I'm just trying to figure out if I want to leave early enough to get through Memphis before rush hour or wait till later and just make it.
See, it's not even rush hour in Memphis. It's when are all the trucks going to be on the road between Little Rock and Memphis?
There you go.
Like, rush hour in Memphis is nothing after you've gotten between Little Rock and Memphis down I-40.
Yeah. So I don't know. When are you leaving?
Well, I'm leaving after the kids get out of school tomorrow because the kids are going with me.
Okay, so you're leaving.
We're gonna break up the trip, stay in Tupelo.
See, my kid's homeschooling tomorrow, so we can leave earlier.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like to drive, though. I'm hopeful that Arkansas wins a game this year because that was a bummer last year to drive all that way.
Yeah.
And you get there for, you know, a three-hour game that's really not even that good of a game against Ole Miss, and then you have to turn around and come back home.
Did you leave that day or did you leave the next day?
We actually did something a little bit different just to make the trip a little bit more worthwhile. I drove up to Nashville, and we did a little day in Nashville and then came home from Nashville. So, you know, it's like Birmingham to Nashville, three-hour drive, something like that. So made it better than just straight to Birmingham and back.
So with that being said, who's going to pitch for us on Wednesday?
I think it's got to be Dietz. Don't you? Like, to me, I think it's Dietz on a pitch count.
I don't know.
Because it'll be 2 weeks. If he pitches on Wednesday, here's my thought on this. If he pitches on Wednesday, number one, it'll be two short weeks in a row because he went Friday to Thursday at Kentucky, and then he'd be going Thursday to Wednesday at the SEC tournament. I think he pitches on Wednesday on a pitch count. If they win, they don't have to play again until Friday. But with Dietz in particular, what it would do is it would give him long rest before he has to potentially start on a Friday at the regional.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that, or I could see him looking at it like, I mean, we're going to be a two seed whether we win or not. Mm-hmm. I think we want to win. I don't know if they're going to pitch him or not. I mean, I feel like they don't want to rush him any more than they already have. But he threw 99 pitches on Thursday. It's not a – I mean, he's big, strong. I think he could do it. I just don't know. I don't know what Hobbs will do there.
I think they like that extra rest before the regional. Yeah. That's my experience just watching how they've used some of their past aces down in Hoover. You know, they did that with Hagen Smith a couple of times. You know, in fact, I remember when they played Kentucky – in Hoover a couple of years ago, I think Hagen was on a pitch count of like 40 or 50. He only pitched for a couple of innings.
Yeah.
I think they like getting that extra rest before they've got to play in the regional. Especially, like you said, when it seems like it's kind of a given, or at least I think it's kind of a given, where they're going to be. I talked to Mark Etheridge this morning at D1 Baseball for something I'm working on our site today. He said he doesn't think that it's – he said he thinks there's still a path there for Arkansas to host. Now, it would take a lot going right. Number one, it would take them winning three games in a row, which has been really difficult for them. You know, I think it'd take winning three in a row to get to the championship game on Sunday in Hoover. But then I think that there would have to be some things that happen in front of them, too. You know, some teams maybe having a bad loss, you know, bad week at their conference tournament. It just seems like it's one of those deals where if this and this and this and this and this happen, then maybe this could happen. But there's still no guarantees. It just it feels to me like it's real far-fetched that they would get a chance to host.
So where's our RPI
RPI is at 25 as of right now. These three metrics, and this is really – it goes back to – and that's why I want to talk to Mark and get his perspective, is it's really hard to get a feel for what the selection committee is going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, which metric are they going to value the most? Is it going to be RPI, where Arkansas is 25? Is it going to be DSR, where Arkansas is 20, or is it going to be KPI, where Arkansas is 16? So, I mean, there's a real big variance about how these metrics look at Arkansas and how they view how their season has gone. There's a lot of interesting conversation to be had here, too, about, DSR and RPI and some things I've learned today about what they're going to do with the tournament.
Did you figure out KPI yet?
I haven't figured it out. I actually, what's funny is I have just figured out in the last few days how to find KPI.
Yeah.
It's at a website that I'm not even going to give the website a plug. I'm just going to say it's at a very random website where you find college baseball's KPI. I have not figured out how necessarily to read this. I will tell you that it thinks Arkansas has the number 9 strength of schedule this year, and it thinks Arkansas's best win is at Alabama. I can't tell you which game at Alabama. It just says at Alabama. And it says that their worst loss is at home to Stetson. Again, I don't know which one of those two losses against Stetson that is, but that's what it thinks about Arkansas.
Well, I mean, they're right on. I mean, if you really look at it.
Yeah.
I would say the whole weekend in Alabama is our biggest. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just – the weekend as a whole.
I would say beating Tyler Faye, that was the night that I thought was the biggest for Arkansas.
Now, does KPI take that into effect?
I don't know that.
Who you beat?
It does, yes. It does. I think KPI and DSR, and I've got a better feel for DSR than I do KPI because I think there's a lot of people who look at KPI and don't quite understand what it is. DSR, I will say this. And I'm talking to Mark Etheridge this morning. DSR really takes into account who you – Not only who you beat, but it takes into account when you played them. So, for instance, a couple of things. Number one, Stetson was thought to be a lot better team when mm-hmm. Arkansas played them than they are now. They went into the A-Sun, and they didn't play very well in the A-Sun. So the DSR values those wins over Stetson more than the RPI does because the RPI is obviously going to continually evolve
right.
as the season goes along. On the flip side, Xavier is a much better team now than I think they were when Arkansas beat them in February. Like Xavier, I didn't see how it went this weekend. I know they went into the last weekend of the regular season in a three-way tie for the Big East Conference lead. And so they've gotten a lot better as the season goes along, and I think it's in large part to the fact they played a tough schedule, you know, early in the year. Like they played at Arkansas, they played at Oregon, they played at Oregon State, they were playing Cal State Fullerton. They played a lot of really good teams early in the season. So I guess maybe there's some offset there. But the thing that I like about the DSR that the RPI doesn't take into consideration is that it is able to distinguish between midweek games and weekend games. And we all know how you treat a midweek game so much differently than you treat a weekend game. Now, Arkansas lost to UT Arlington on the weekend. They lost to Stetson on the weekend. Those are bad losses. They lost a fourth game to Stetson on a Monday. That was essentially their midweek game. Arkansas was throwing their midweek pitching that day. Stetson was doing the same. That one does not ding you in the DSR quite as bad as a weekend loss to a team like that. Very, very simply put, a Monday loss to Stetson is not nearly as bad as a Sunday loss to Stetson. So I like that about the DSR. I wonder if the DSR might at some point for baseball become like the net has become for basketball, where it just totally replaces the RPI. But one thing that I was cautioned on is that, you know, in baseball, a lot of these teams know how to game the RPI to their advantage with how they schedule in the midweek.
Right.
Let's use Missouri State for an example. Missouri State played a couple of games against Arkansas, played a couple of games against Oklahoma State. I think they typically play Missouri once or twice a year. Now, that's not – Missouri baseball is what it is, but – still, you go when you play an SEC team and you're a Conference USA team, that's got the potential to help you
right.
more often than not, even if it is just Missouri. You look at Missouri State, right now in the RPI, Missouri State is 27. I don't have their DSR pulled up. I know, though, that in their DSR going into the last weekend, they were 51. So they were going into last weekend, there was a 25-place difference between their RPI and their DSR. One was 26, one was 51. And that is because, again, the DSR values weekend wins way more than it values midweek wins, whereas the RPI doesn't distinguish between those two. So when you're talking about NCAA rules, everybody gets to vote on NCAA rules. So if you're a kind of a mid-major team, like a Missouri State, maybe like a Dallas Baptist, who seems to do pretty well, you know, with scheduling midweek games and getting some midweek wins to help themselves and in the tournament, I don't know that they're going to be so willing to adapt from RPI to DSR. And then by extension, their conferences who get the vote, like their conference commissioner. If you're Jacksonville State, you know, in the Conference USA too, they've had some really nice midweek wins. They went to Auburn and won last week. You don't want to give those up. You want to be able whenever Selection Monday gets here to have as many teams from your conference can get into the tournament as possible.
But see, what I don't understand, Matt, is 2026. We've got all this technology out there. Can we not find a system that's fair with a little bit of common sense? It looks like to me
the NCAA common sense. Yeah.
good point.
Need to wait till 21-26 for that.
Okay. it just looks like to me there ought to be a way to, if you have to combine the three, but I'm a why person. So if we're told we're not going to host, tell me why. Like, which I know, I mean, I don't need to know that. But if you're a team that's a bubble team and you don't get in. Like last year, there were a lot of teams that didn't get in. There was a lot of questions last year. I want to know why.
Yeah.
And I know they get on TV. You know, the guys on the committee do the best they can and explain it. Okay, this is why we decided what we did. Some of it makes sense. Some of it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And that's what makes college sports so much different than professional sports. In professional sports, you know why you didn't get into the playoff.
Right.
You know, because it's very plainly stated. These are the teams who get into the playoffs. You know, you win your division. Maybe you finish in the wild card, whatever. And if you don't get in, you know, say like there's seven teams get in and you're number eight, you know why you didn't get in. College is totally different because it's so much more you know, subjective than professional sports is.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I really wish that there was a more defined way to get into the playoff system, whether that be football, basketball, baseball, whatever. But unfortunately, I don't really see a path unless the big conferences break away from the smaller conferences, which there's been talk about that in baseball, especially in baseball, because, you know, there's this thought that the teams that don't spend very much on baseball are really pulling or not allowing the sport to move forward. We talked about ABS that's going to be happening this week down in Hoover. I know there's a lot of teams that would like ABS to be in the regular season, but, you know, you also have, let's just use, and I'm not trying to disparage a team here, but let's just use locally. You got Arkansas, and you know what Arkansas spends on baseball.
Right.
You got UAPB, and you know what baseball looks like at UAPB, where they're, you know, they're having to piece things together there, quite frankly. But UAPB, as of right now, and the conference that they're in, the SWAC, they've kind of got equal say as the SEC in terms of how do you move the sport forward. And it's tough. I don't know what the right answer is there.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks like to me there ought to be a better system that says, that lays it outright. This is why.
Black and white.
Yeah, no questions asked. And, I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy. Just be able to answer the why. Yeah. That's all I want. And tell me the why. That's it. That's what I want to know.
I got so excited earlier. I forgot to tell people that we're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can search Whole Hog Sports. We're also on YouTube. And we put our video on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Whole Hog Sports on any of those platforms. Ask that you'd subscribe. You'd help us out that way. I don't think Arkansas is going to host. I think you go back to the last few weeks and you just think about the games that got away. If they were able to sweep OU and they were able to sweep Kentucky, and you think about those two series, they were very much like sweeping was very much a possibility in both. Oklahoma game three gets away from them after they fight back to get it to 7-7, and up at Kentucky, obviously Kentucky really went for it in game one, and I think it hurt Kentucky in game three by not throwing Jelkin in game three. And I think if you're Kentucky and you're Nick Mangione, you know, and you kind of go back and you reassess and reevaluate how everything went over the weekend, you're probably sitting there thinking like, maybe we could have gotten it done with an eighth inning lead without throwing Jelkin. Maybe you win the series if you throw him in game three. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't pitch as well on Saturday as he did on Thursday. Maybe he's not as sharp. But I have a feeling that if Jackson Jelkin was pitching, Arkansas doesn't have nine runs before the first out is recorded.
Right. No, I agree. And it looked like to me that there was a lot of debate, and maybe there wasn't. It seemed like to me there was a lot of debate whether or not to get him loose because, mm-hmm. you know, they started stalling, you know, offensive timeout. They slowed the pace of the game down. I think to get him loose, I think it was a last-minute decision where there's like, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mingione said that even they sent their pitching coach down to, quote, look him in the eye and get a feel for this. But it felt like Jelkin was hell-bent on pitching that night. And, you know, Kentucky, I think in Kentucky's eyes, they felt, and Mingione said this pretty much afterward, after the Thursday night game, that if you get 13 wins and you've got an RPI in the top 30, that traditionally teams that have hit that threshold make it into the NCAA tournament. I think they felt like they got into the tournament with that win. I mean, it felt like you listened to their press conference after the game Thursday. I mean, it almost sounded like they had won a championship.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that has, I think, a reverberating effect on how the rest of the weekend goes. You know, I think you celebrate too much after game one win. Maybe you're not as sharp for game two. Arkansas didn't play particularly well in game two,
mm-mm.
but obviously Kentucky didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't think we played well in game two. I thought we were lucky to get away with the win. Gackle was okay. I thought he showed signs of being mm-hmm. really good.
I think it was probably the best start he's had in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe since South Carolina. That's the game that kind of comes to mind.
Yeah, I think you're right. What I like about this team, though, Matt, is they're you can say what you want about them, and I've been 100% on board with this team all year. I think the fact that we won seven series is really, really good in mm-hmm. the SEC. But this team, they don't get phased. Like you look at Saturday's game, they scored 10 in the first inning. Next thing you know, it's a tie game.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of teams would have gone south after that.
Mm-hmm.
They play with a little bit of anger,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of an edge. And they came back. They battled mm-hmm. back and won that game. And I think that says a lot about this team.
They had a lot of good responses over mm-hmm. the weekend. Like on Friday, every inning that Kentucky would score, yeah. Arkansas came back and scored a run in the top of the next inning. And even in that game that you're talking about on Saturday – where it's 12-12, and Kentucky is just—I mean, it'd be very easy for Arkansas to fold. You know, regular season finale, you're on the road, you've just blown an 11-run lead. You get out of that situation, you come back and you score two in the top of the next inning. I thought that was a big, big response.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's in the sixth inning when they scored two. It's like that says a lot about this team and their toughness. And I'll take a team that's tough any day. You know, I've told you before, and I've told multiple people. You know, my dad wasn't like a baseball strategist; like he didn't know a ton about the game. But he said, the one thing you can do is be tougher than your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
If they're better than you, you can be tougher. He said, tougher will win in the end. And I think this team's got a lot of guys that are scrappy, tough players, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that you know the way they play in late innings, and it's not perfect. Like, they've had some games get away in late innings, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Georgia's a perfect example of this, or, you know, even Oklahoma in the seventh inning against OU last week. But, like, more often than not, they played really strong late in games. And I think that's a characteristic that if you're looking for why could Arkansas potentially make a run in the postseason, that's something that I think you can hang your hat on.
Yeah. I don't think there's very few games throughout the course of the year where I've either been sitting in a booth or at home and thought, oh, we're out of this.
Mm-hmm.
We had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like we got a chance. I'm always looking at the lineup and saying, okay, you know, let's get two runners on base. Let's get the tie and run to the plate. We can win this thing.
I think Friday night was the seventh time this year that they've scored the go-ahead run in the eighth inning. And then obviously they've had a handful of walk-off wins in the ninth too.
Yeah, and then – now you look at the like the eighth inning, all the runs we scored in the eighth inning. I don't know. I've got it on my phone, but Sydney made me move my phone, so I can't pull it up.
It's
but,
like it's over. I think it's close to 60.
It's 60 something. 59, 60 think.
Something. Yeah.
And then we've scored a lot of ninth inning runs. Now, one thing that I did notice, we've given up a lot of ninth inning runs, mm-hmm. like 29 or something like that.
Well, like about half of those was against Georgia.
Well,
like I think they just scored again.
You're right. I guess you can't read too much into that, but I feel like having DeKramer back is huge for this team, because you think about those three outs he got on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Those are huge. I think gave up two hits, no runs, three innings. That was huge. And his stuff looked really good. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy, the first time I saw him pitch, I thought, man, this dude's got SEC starter stuff. And, you know, he gets hurt. He's out for a while. I really almost forgot about him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now he's back, and hopefully that'll keep going into postseason.
I want to talk to you more about him in a second. A reminder, our baseball podcast sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for three generations. They built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. That kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident at H&R Tire and Auto. How do you think they use DeKramer moving forward? Because they've used him in relief roles the last week. I think it's, was it 5 2/3 innings, and he hasn't given up an earned run. Now, there was an unearned run that was scored against him because of that error by Zach Stewart against OU. But, you know, they brought him here with the thought that he could potentially be a starter. He started at Oregon State. In fact, I think he started a regional game for Oregon State either last year or maybe the year before. I just wonder, you know, because they clearly need a third starter.
Yeah.
And he's pitching well. I don't know that I expect him to go 4 or 5 innings, but – you know, if he pitches the way that he's been pitching and he can get you off to a good start in a game, there's a lot of value to that. But on the flip side, there's a lot of value to what he did against Kentucky and be able to pitch two times in a weekend.
Yeah, being able to pitch twice is huge. But you look at the Saturday outing, three innings, he only threw 34 pitches.
Efficient.
He could be a guy, if Dietz doesn't start, mm-hmm. he could start Wednesday.
You're thinking at the SEC tournament.
Yeah, the SEC tournament. In case they decide. I see your point about it, but I feel like the following start, you know, in a regional is more important for us than that Wednesday game in Hoover. I don't know if they'll use Dietz or not. I don't know. I'd love to see it. Mm-hmm. I hope we use him. I'd love to play Texas. I'd love to beat whoever we're going to play. I would assume we pretty good chance we'll
Tennessee.
End up. Yeah.
I will say, you look at the pitching matchup here for Tennessee and South Carolina. This is what's been announced, is Tennessee's going to go with a freshman who I think has only started one game this year. Now, he's pitched in relief a number of times. I hope I'm saying his name right. Cam Appenzeller, 5-1, 4.84 ERA, and 48 1/3 innings. And then South Carolina, I mean, they're going with their guy. They're going with Brandon Stone in game one. Obviously, Arkansas saw him out there in Columbia several weeks ago. So from a pitching standpoint, it looks like it would favor South Carolina. And a lot of times in these tournament situations, you like whether it be South Carolina, whether it be LSU this week, Vanderbilt's going to be in the same boat. Like, they got to win a bunch of games this week to keep their season going. Right? You know, if you're Tennessee, you're in the tournament.
Right.
You're not going to make a – you know, you're not going to host a regional – I know as a competitor, you want to win every time you go out there and lace it up. But I wonder if Tennessee has the same motivation as South Carolina does. I highly doubt they do, but motivation can only go so far. I mean, there's a talent level to this too. But from a pitching can offset a lot of things, and South Carolina's got their guy going. If he's on, you know, maybe South Carolina's the team you see on Wednesday.
That would be nice. That might change our pitching rotation a little bit. I mean, who knows? I mean, I guess we won't know till we get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Tennessee, they've got a dude that we probably don't want to face. He's been throwing really well.
It's Tegan Coons.
Mm-hmm. So if he's on, he's tough. If he's not on, then he won't be in the game very long. But he's been on lately. And so he's a guy, you know, that not that we fear anybody. I just say the guy's got good stuff.
If Arkansas wins on Wednesday, it would get a day off on Thursday and not play again until Friday against Texas. The SEC tournament, the schedule there, it's got to get better. I don't understand. I shouldn't say I don't understand. I do understand why they do things the way they do. I just don't tend to agree with it. I think if you're going to do the tournament the way you want to start it on Tuesday, finish that thing on Saturday and give your teams that are playing in the championship game an extra day to go home, rest, get ready for the regional.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it seems like to me there's a lot of downtime.
A lot. I mean, you know, think about Arkansas. They flew down there Saturday night from Lexington. So they're there Saturday night. Sunday they're off. Saturday night they're off. Sunday they're off the entire day. They'll practice, I think, today. They'll go through, you know, kind of a practice tomorrow. And then that's 4 days that you're, or, you know, parts of 4 days that you're in Hoover before you get to game day. And then maybe you play a game and win. And then you get another day. And then, I don't know, that's a lot of hotel time for a team that's already coming off of a long road trip.
Yeah, it's a lot of hotel time. I don't know. Sometimes that can be good for a team, kind of galvanizes you.
We've seen it happen with a lot of Dave's teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about 09, 12, 15, I think. I mean, there have been a lot of teams where they end the season on the road. Maybe the regular season didn't go very well at the end. And, you know, they win a game or two in Hoover. And it feels like they're a totally different team once they get back to, you know, Fayetteville and go on their next road trip to a regional somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm, as a baseball player, I can say this, and I think most of them will agree. Baseball players want to play. They don't want to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's – for me, I never liked sitting around a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like walking around the mall. I didn't like doing all that crap. I wanted to – when I got to a town, I wanted to get to the field and play baseball.
Yeah.
But like I said, sometimes it's good for a team. Take a couple days, spend some time together as a team in the hotel, go see a movie, go bowl, whatever they do. I'm sure they'll have some kind of team function.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be good for them. I think this is already a pretty close-knit team, but still, it's sometimes that'll kind of bring you together.
Do you want some bad news?
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
60% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Wednesday in Hoover.
Yeah, I saw that already. Yeah.
That's the thing about this tournament. There's been a lot of talk about moving the SEC tournament to Globe Life because, you know, the Big 12, they moved out of Globe Life. They went out and they're playing now at Surprise where the Rangers and the Royals have their spring training facility.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Greg Sankey was in Arlington for one of those weekends that Arkansas was down there a year or two ago. I can't remember if it was the 25 or the 24 season. And it's been, you know, pretty widely known or reported that the SEC has had some talks with Globe Life. Is the SEC the one that initiated that? Is Globe Life the one, you know, REV Entertainment, are they the ones that initiated that? I don't know. I think that would be awfully cool to go play in Dallas. But I also think that it would take kind of the, you know, the jaws of death to pull the SEC out of Hoover. It's become so, like, you don't even say the SEC tournament. You say Hoover.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? You're right.
It'd be very hard to get the tournament out of there. The city of Hoover really stepped up about 15 years ago, 14 years ago. There was some thought that the tournament might move to, like, another minor league. I think Memphis really put in a strong bid to get it. But the city of Hoover, they stepped up and have done a lot of modifications, not only to the ballpark, but that area around the ballpark, and, you know, have made it, you know, made it really nice. It's a really nice place to go. It's just, you're talking about central Alabama weather in mid to late May.
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep things on schedule.
Well, I'm sure there's a contract. When's the contract expire? I doubt if you know that.
Actually, I think I do. I think the contract is through 2028. I believe they signed a contract about 2 or 3 years ago through 2028. But again, I think it'd be very hard to get it out of there.
I think
it'd be a cool experience to go play this thing at Globe Life. And if you want to have the roof open, you can have the roof open in Dallas if it's not raining. And it's probably not going to be raining this time of year.
I don't know. I think it'd be awesome. Picture some of the crowds that would be there.
Well, you just think about phenomenal. Dallas. You just think about Dallas. And you could say this, excuse me, about a lot of stadiums that are a lot of major cities in the South. But you've got, like when you graduate from the University of Arkansas or LSU or OU or a lot of these schools, like Dallas, that's a place where you go to you start your career.
Yeah.
Maybe you build your life there. I mean, think about how many U of A grads live in the DFW area. I just think Hoover's a what's the seat, about 10,000, 11,000 people. That's the stadium somewhere in there. About the size of Baum.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as nice as Baum, but it's about the same size capacity-wise. 40,000 seats at Globe Life. And if you get the right championship Sunday matchup there, let's just think for a second, Bubba. What if Arkansas played Texas for an SEC title in Dallas? What if LSU played Texas?
Yeah.
What if, you know, LSU played Mississippi State? You get the right title game in Dallas, and you're talking about, I don't know if you fill 40,000 seats. I bet you could fill 30,000. If you can get 22,000 people to an Arkansas-TCU game on Valentine's Day when there's college basketball going on, I guarantee you can get 30,000 people in that ballpark for an SEC tournament.
Yeah, I think Arkansas versus Texas championship game, I don't even think it has to be a championship
game. How about A&M against somebody? I mean, you know, they're going to be down there too. It would fit. Hoover fits a certain – it fits certain fan bases. You know, LSU, they're all going to go over there in their RV. You know, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. I'm sure Georgia's going to be well represented there this year with having won the SEC and all the excitement about that team. But that's why I always thought whenever the initial thoughts about Hoover or when the initial talk about whether or not to keep it in Hoover 15 years ago, like, why not move this thing around?
Yeah.
You know, play it in Memphis a year. Play it in Pensacola 1 year. Like, move it to some of these minor league ballparks. But now you got this Globe Life deal, and I think that could – I think it could be really cool for the SEC. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would alleviate, you know, a lot of the problems that they have with the tournament right now.
I mean, maybe that's the reason they space it out like they do, to allow for the weather.
You're talking about on Thursday and Friday?
Yeah. I mean, they could be building a cushion in case it does rain. Because it is going to rain.
For sure.
Just about every
– Yeah.
Every time I've been down there, it seems like it rains.
There'd be a cushion on Saturday too. You know what I mean? It's more about setting things up for TV, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but at least they got rid of the old format. The old format never made any sense to me. I remember 1 year, I think A&M, I think A&M and Vanderbilt played each other for a championship, and Arkansas and Florida were the top two teams in the SEC that year, and they had gotten through at 2-0 to the weekend, and they had beaten A&M and Vanderbilt. But then they play on Saturday, and Vanderbilt and A&M only had to beat them one time to get through to the championship game. So you got Arkansas and Florida, who have only lost once, but because it's when they lost is why they're out of it. The format never made any sense to me.
To me, that never made sense.
But a single elimination format in baseball also is kind of pointless to me.
Yeah. But how do you do it with 16 teams unless you only invite 8 teams?
Or unless you don't have a tournament at all. I mean, that's kind of that's the alternative there. Hey, I wanted to go back real quick and ask you about what you saw during that first inning against Kentucky and the at-bats they put together. Because, you know, a lot of times you have a big inning and there's a lot of walks and hit batters, and there was some of that against Kentucky. But what stood out to me is that the first 5 guys who got on base for Arkansas, it was 3 singles and 2 doubles. They were hitting that guy hard. Mm. And you know, it wasn't like it was like this comedy of errors and walks and hit batters. Again, Arkansas had a walk. I think they had a couple of hit batters. Maybe they had 2 walks in that inning. But it was, you know, it's 6-0. And Damian Ruiz comes back up, and he hits a hard 3-run double down the left field line. Like, it felt like it was as good of a sequence of hits as they put together this year. And have you noticed that when Arkansas has these big innings this year, it doesn't really include a home run?
Yeah.
Like they're not a bad home run hitting team, but, like, I feel like they're able more so than a lot of teams in the past to string together big innings with doubles and singles.
And that's hard to do. You hear Dave talk about it all the time. It's so hard to string together hits in the SEC. Mm-hmm. The pitching is so good.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I noted, there were 5 hits with 2 strikes in that first inning. 5 2-strike hits with RBIs in the first inning. That's that's good hitting right there. Everyone loves the two strike RBI hit.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we got good pitches. We didn't chase. We stayed in the zone, and without oversimplifying it, good hitting is staying in the zone. Good hitting is good timing, good pitch selection. I thought we did a really good job of fighting off a few pitches with two strikes, getting a pitch we could handle and, mm-hmm. and hitting it, and then, you know, other times ambushing them early. I just thought it was just the approach was incredible in that inning, and we've showed signs of that throughout the year. That's why I look at this team. I feel like we're never out of a game. But to see something like that, I've been a part of one game like that, and we ended up scoring 33 runs, and everything we hit found a hole, and we hit balls hard. Mm. There weren't errors. They were just hits, and it was unbelievable. It was fun to watch. Never seen anything like that. I don't know if you have from an Arkansas team.
You're talking about never seen anything like both teams having a big inning like that?
Yeah, or one having an inning like that with no outs. We scored 9 or 10 runs without an out.
So I've seen that one other game. But never in the SEC.
Yeah.
It was against St. Louis on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Arkansas, I think they scored like 14 in the first inning, and maybe the first 11 got on base.
That doesn't count, man.
Well, still says it in the record books.
I've just never seen it to start out a game in the SEC. It was incredible. And they went through, what, three pitchers? The first inning?
Yeah, the third pitcher got the first out. It took 26 minutes to get the first out.
Yeah.
And I think there were 60 pitches thrown in that inning. That really set the tone for the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting is that Kentucky did the same thing.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. I mean, and that's the thing with Gibbler. Team's been putting together big innings against him. But, like, when Ole Miss scored 5 runs, they scored 5 runs in the first 16 pitches. He ain't walking people.
Yeah.
I know he walked one during that big inning for Kentucky the other day, but teams are hitting him hard. And I think that's concerning. I think Van Horn even said that after the game on Saturday, that they got to figure out how they're going to use him moving forward.
So I was talking to some people. I was at the ballpark yesterday, and I was talking to some people about it, and I almost feel like Gibbler throws too many strikes. Mm. Now, Hobbs is probably going to disagree with that, but I know as a hitter – if I know a dude's going to be around the plate mm-hmm. and he's basically using two pitches, a fastball, slider, I like my chances. I'm ready to hit. You know what I mean? It's the guys that are wild that are hard, like the OU pitchers.
Mm.
You know, they're going to throw three balls at your head and then paint three down and away on the mm-hmm. black. Those are the guys that's hard to hit. But the mm-hmm. guys that are around the plate, you're ready to hit. You're on go and – I don't know. I feel like sometimes you got to throw a ball in order to get a strike.
Yeah. Yeah, set somebody up.
Yeah.
I was thinking, too, whenever I was talking about, like, kind of silver linings for Arkansas in the regional, if you can just add a bat and an arm this time of year, it can really change how you feel about mm-hmm. your team. We talked about DeKremer. What I saw from Zach Stewart over the weekend I thought was highly encouraging. You know, what he had, 2 doubles, 3 homers. He looked a lot more. Maybe it's the pitching he's facing, but we just have not seen that from him. That type of big weekend. I mean, he'd only had 5 extra base hits in the SEC before the weekend. He had that many at Kentucky. Can he replicate that? I don't know. But boy, if they could get him going, and that lengthens the lineup.
I mean, I look at him and I look at DeKremer. I think they were kind of the X factor, and having them both going this weekend, it was huge for us. Now, if we get into postseason play, I think Zach's going to be on fire during postseason play. I just feel like he's going the right direction, but just how valuable it was having DeKremer. Mm-hmm. You think about the outs in a 3-game series, you know, to win a regional, you got to win 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Having his outs in there, if he gets you in, what, 6 outs in a weekend,
mm-hmm.
that's huge.
Yeah, it really
is. That's huge, because I feel like a lot of these game 3s, we've come up just a few outs short.
Mm-hmm.
You add this dude in there, getting outs and looking if he can repeat what he did. I mean, we've had guys show signs, but just if you can stack a couple of outings like he did on this weekend, that's huge.
First base, that's still kind of a question mark for this team. They played Peck there. They played Rutenbar there a little bit. Didn't play him there a whole lot. Robinette got some time there. I heard Phil Elson say on the pregame show the other day that they were working Carson Brumbaugh out at first base, which was kind of interesting. Van Horn was saying that, first just has to get more consistent.
Okay, so I'm going to go against what I usually believe. I'm all about the offense. Score, score, score. But I feel like at first base, you almost have to have a guy like Reese Robinette. He's going to save you. He may not drive in a bunch of runs, but he's going to save you runs at first base. 6'3", long arms. I mean, he's going to get the balls that Rutenbar can't. Little things. You see the decision like Peck. Peck's done a good job, by the way, filling in. He's made some good plays. He made one play where he kept his foot on the bag just long enough. That was huge.
Well, we say he's 6'4"?
Yeah, he's 6'4".
If he's 6'3 and a half, that guy's safe, and who knows if that game ever ends. Yeah.
And you look at Rutenbar, and he can't make that play.
Yeah.
It's just – it is what it is. There was a play where Peck went a little bit too far to his right, couldn't get back to the bag in time.
Looked like he kind of caught the pitcher flat-footed.
Yeah.
And he couldn't cover.
Yeah, and so when Robinette's there, you don't see those.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you did see one in Omaha last year, but we want to forget about that one, where he went a little bit too far to his right. But I think just having Robinette at first base, anchoring down first base, is huge this going into postseason play. I think he's the guy I want over there, and usually I'm like an offensive guy. I want
even
offense.
Even if he's struggling with his bat, do you think that that's who you play?
Yeah, because
he can't run right now. I mean, there was a play that he bunt, and maybe they mishandled it a little bit, and they still were able to throw him out. It's clear that knee is really bothering him.
Yeah, and I think there was a ball he hit to the right side that they bobbled, still got him. But I just feel like, look at Reese's at bats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his numbers, if you look at his numbers aren't very good. But, man, he's had some at bats where he's gone up there and battled, fouled off pitches.
Yeah.
In the midst of that at bat, there's a pass ball, someone moves over. I mean, it seems like he makes something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that he's going to save you a lot of runs. And I feel like Matt, the defenders – on the left side, I think they're a lot more comfortable with him over there. Yeah. They don't feel like they have to be perfect.
Yeah.
They can get rid of the ball and get it over there, and he will find a way to make a play.
Well, it totally changes the catch radius that they're throwing into.
Yeah.
Talking about that at bat, he had that in the first game against Kentucky. They had a pitcher on the mound, Jack Sams, who was just mowing Arkansas down.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring Robinette in, and all of a sudden, I think he worked a walk. But – it was clear that he wasn't going to swing at the pitches that maybe some of the previous batters did.
Yeah.
And it felt like it just kind of totally took that pitcher out of his rhythm. He's got that capability. Those are little things that can get undervalued a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we'd love to see him hit, but I mean, if he can just, be somewhat something at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to save us so many runs at first base. I think it's worth having him over there.
What's your favorite part about Hoover? You got any like Hoover traditions you do when you go down there?
You know what? Honestly, one of my favorite things about Hoover is watching the kids on the grassy knoll.
Oh yeah,
it's so much fun to watch them. Even when there's not a foul ball being hit, they play these little games where it's – and I still haven't figured out the rules of it. I think it's neat to watch all the kids. And, they're all wearing different jerseys, but they're all getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice to see, My kid was even playing catch with a kid with an Ole Miss jersey last year, and I was – I wasn't disappointed.
it's
a few years ago, I thought, dang, I raised him wrong.
Yeah. And it's nothing like Omaha, but it's a neat – It is they have, and this is probably why it's never leaving Hoover anytime soon. Like, they have created something down there around that ballpark on game days that you can't replicate that in the middle of Arlington. You really can't. What they have created there, you can't recreate that. Now, you can put a lot more butts in the stands, and you can have some really cool atmospheres, in a pro ballpark. But they've been able to create something. It reminds me a little bit of Rosenblatt, like a little bit of a smaller version of what they had around Rosenblatt back in the day.
Yeah, and I think two things, Matt. I think if you're a baseball player, you know, you talk about taking away the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know, because that's a chance for those guys to go down there and play with the best players in the country, mm-hmm. All in one area. And I think that's cool for them. They get treated like rock stars, kind of like Omaha. It's a lot like Omaha, but you know, player of the game gets up there. They get interviewed by the guys,
SEC Network.
Yeah, the SEC Network guys. I think that's one of the things. And I think the second thing, if you're a baseball fan and you just like baseball, mm-hmm. doesn't matter if you're a Razorback fan, LSU, whoever, even mm-hmm. if you're a Vandy fan. Mm-hmm. Just seeing good baseball. Mm-hmm. I could sit there all day. My family goes with me, so we try to get out and do other things. But if you're just a baseball fan, you could sit there all day and watch great baseball. Mm-hmm. Probably there's a better collection of talent there than in Omaha. A lot of people are probably going to shame me for
that. You're talking about prospects.
Yeah, just prospects. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy the amount of talent.
We got more teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have Cinderella's.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Missouri. Maybe they could be like Cinderella. But you don't have a whole lot of Cinderellas.
You got to win to be a Cinderella, don't you?
That's true. Yeah, that's right. All right, one more time. Our baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're proudly family-owned since 1976. They're trusted across northwest Arkansas. Committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. Learn more or schedule service at H&R Tire and Auto.com. Bubba and I'll have a podcast on Thursday. We don't know how we'll do it. Maybe we'll be on the road talking between Memphis and Little Rock. I don't know. Maybe we're in Hoover. But the Razorbacks play on Wednesday against either Tennessee or South Carolina. And we'll see if they advance. If they win, they'll play Friday afternoon against Texas. Again, Ethan Westerman's going to be in here tomorrow. We'll talk Razorback softball in the Super Regional against Duke. Hope to see you there or at our website, WholeHogSports.com. Have a great day.